Intervju Radija Študent.
V obdobju pandemije, ko se je kulturno in glasbeno dogajanje iz fizičnih prostorov preselilo v digitalni svet, smo bili po vsem svetu priča nekolikšni ponovni obuditvi radijskega medija, nepogrešljivega za promocijo in vrednotenje svežih umetniških vsebin. Posledično so nastajale nove, lokalne, internetne radijske postaje, posvečene promociji alternativne scene. Na Nizozemskem pa je k situaciji prispevala tudi prekinitev delovanja kultnega Red Light Radia v Amsterdamu. Ena izmed redkih radijskih postaj, ki je delovala že usporedno z omenjenim Red Light Radiem in ki je po njegovi ukinitvi skupaj z naborom glasbenih selektorjev do neke mere prevzela štafetno palico promocije alternative, je Operator v Rotterdamu, internetni radio, ki oddaja že četrto leto. O vlogi radija na rotterdamski in nasploh tudi nizozemski glasbeni in kulturni sceni, njegovem nastanku in trenutnih problematikah, nam bo v sledečem intervjuju več povedala ožja ekipa ustanoviteljev postaje.
Hey guys, thanks for taking your time to answer some questions and introduce Operator Radio and the Rotterdam scene to the listeners at Radio Student in Slovenia. First, I would like to ask you to introduce yourselves and tell a bit about your current position at Operator. What are you doing? I don't know. Let's begin with you, Jeff.
I'm Jeff van Hoek. I'm actually the creative director here at Operator.
Actually.
But I do a lot of stuff, like everything.
But like
we have an official title within the company, but
he's involved. Let's take that. He's involved.
It's fluid, you know.
Yeah, so that's a good description.
I do a lot of things actually, but mostly I'm in charge together with Jorn. Actually, we take care of like almost every collaboration we do. A lot of the merchandise, but I'm also responsible for a lot of the technical issues and questions we have inside the company. And besides working at Operator, I also DJ. Well, I used to DJ a lot. And now
let's try to pick it up again.
But yeah, that's me, and I'm 34 years old.
Cool. Yeah, Osman.
Hey, my name is Osman Bas. I am head of program of Operator. I still get together with Ofra. And next to that, I also do the back end of the website. And besides doing that for Operator, I'm also a DJ, hosting events, doing a lot of stuff.
Okay, cool.
Are you also, you can also remember DJing?
Yeah, definitely. Can't forget that.
Never. I am I'm Jorn de Vries. I'm 42. The business director of Operator, together with Jeff. Like he said already, we take care of most of the collaborations and the partnerships. We like to align with a lot of people in Rotterdam to introduce a lot of people to the alternative sound of Rotterdam, and which means there need to be a lot of collaborations within Operator and the city on all these different kinds of areas that are interesting for our crowd, who are mostly looking for an alternative sound, and that about it.
Okay.
I also used to DJ, but not that professionally as Jeff and Osman. But I like to play a lot of hip hop.
His program at the Beer Garden.
I do at Beer Garden. I do the programming and a lot of marketing and design stuff. I'm also a graphic designer together with Peter and Ilya. We have this company called Almost Modern, and there's also a lot of flow within Operator and the designing of visuals and stuff like that.
Cool. So, I would like to ask you how the whole like idea for the Operator radio station came up, and how did you form as a team?
Well, that's
and
a, that's
start a, broadcasting.
It's a good question because you have the core of the formation right here at the table.
Right. Yeah.
Because there was a time like 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, when Osman talked to us, to me and Jeff separately, and he started to plug this idea that he missed something in, because you used to listen to a lot of radio stuff like BBC One and,
I listen to a lot of radio and I really had the idea to do something with radio and we do this Friday drinks here at the beer garden and Jorn was there. I was like, he was standing on the stairs with a beer in his hand. I was like, Jorn, I got this idea. Maybe we should do a radio station. He was like, yeah, good idea.
Good idea, but only the two of us.
Good idea. Afterwards, I was hanging out with Jeff in the car and I was talking to Jeff in the car. I plugged the idea with Jorn. I was like, yeah, good idea, man. And after that, there was a festival and Jeff and Jorn talked separately with each other. Like, you talked to Osman.
Having this idea about
this radio station.
Really big bottle of Grey Goose involved. We were sitting backstage with a bottle of Grey Goose and we talked through the whole idea.
And I remember afterwards getting this text. I don't know if it was Jorn or Jeff. I like, oh, you had this radio idea. Are you serious? Like, we gotta do this.
Funny thing was, the first time I talked to Osman about it, and I wasn't really into it like for myself. I was like, yeah, you should do that, and you should definitely check out Jorn because he was involved at Schieblok, and this was like
logical,
a vibrant area. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. And I envisioned it when I talked to Osman, and I gave him just some pointers and stuff, and I envisioned it to be here at MES. Mm-hmm. And now it's like full circle because we have this event now. And also with the radio, I thought he should start out on Friday, like do streams from this space because the space is beautiful, but it was already taken by them because it was like the culinary workspace of MES and the Bee Garden.
Yeah, they did a lot of
and it was already taken. Yeah. So, but I always thought it had to be at the Schieblok. Mm-hmm. And then like, I think maybe a year later, we talked about the idea again. And then that's when I talked to Jorn. So it was like a lot of time passed by actually before we really started to get serious with the project.
Okay.
And then after the festival, it went quite rapidly actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we made an appointment with the three of us at a restaurant in North. And we talked through it like with each other, right?
Yeah.
So how should it be set up and what should be the standards that we had. And at a certain point we realized this is not a two-man, one-man, three-man job. This is we needed more people to make sure we got also all the genres, all the different scenes connected with each other. So we started looking for, at least a female for that point of view, because we're like all men, and so we immediately we had like two women in mind. One was obviously Ofra, and the other one was Yeti. So we talked to both of them, and Ofra was really enthusiastic, and Yeti said immediately, "I don't have time because I'm running a club called Bar, and it really consumes all of my time." But she had a talk with Patrick from Pinkman Records. That Patrick was also looking for how to set up some sort of radio station in what form or whatsoever. Yeah. So we invited also Patrick to join the conversation. And I think it was quite fast that we then agreed to do this with the five of us.
Yeah, for me it was like when I went to Morocco to this festival with together with the people from Red Light Radio.
Oh yeah.
And when I was there, I saw like firsthand how fairly easy it was to set up a stream on a location and just to build that platform and how important that was for the scene in Amsterdam at the time. Because everybody was doing like a radio show monthly and the scene got bigger and bigger over there. Yeah. Like the more alternative scene, it got more visible. And I was like, yeah, we should do that in Rotterdam as well. So when I came back from that festival, I went to the festival with Jorn, And then, that convinced me to do it, like when I saw it firsthand.
Yeah, and also like a lot of Rotterdam scene went to Amsterdam to do a radio show.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was like a port, like why can't people from this city use a platform here to voice the sound of Rotterdam from here?
Yeah.
So that was like one of the main points why we also had to set it up here, you know.
Yeah, it felt like the right time and the right.
It felt like the right time indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And afterwards, we start like doing weekly meetings and after week.
And the people from Red Light Radio, they helped us out a lot.
Yeah.
Because we sat down with them and they gave us some tips. Like, we did it with a two-man team, but it's way too small.
Yeah,
just expand your team. then we expanded the team.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you set up the radio station and everything, and
we set up the idea first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for now, how should we manage stuff like that? What should be the broadcast times? How many days? What should be the quality level? Yeah. We made some parameters for ourselves, you know, to step, because we didn't want to step in like a half day radio once a week, and then no, we wanted to step in like with like 4 days of full radio, and then build from there, you know. So at that point we, you know, you have to have a location and a place to broadcast from, so a website and a physical space.
How did the container at
came up? Like I said, or like Osman pointed out, I work with the guys from Biergarten a long time already, and I make program for them the square behind us. And we talked to, I know that Roland and Tijmen, the owners from Biergarten, they're really like looking every year for some addition to the Biergarten, not only as in to sell more beer, but more as in to stay creative and be unique. So we pitched the idea of, hey, can you guys help us with a location for a radio station? And
We made a presentation
and we sat down and Roland was super enthusiastic, and he was like, this is the addition we're looking for, like yearly we're looking for like a cool new addition which makes the beer garden not just a place to sell beer, but a place to come together and to feed the community in Rotterdam with other people, you know. And so they suggested that they would set up a container. They would buy a container for us. They would set it up on top of their containers. And then we sat down with their team of, how do you say, builders?
Yeah.
There was
professor. Crazy professor.
There was a crazy professor called Joost Goudrian. He was like an artist builder. He had like this crazy team of people or crazy connections with people who can do like build weird stuff. And so we sat down, how should it look and how should it feel, and with the ladder climbing upstairs and have like a sort of a balcony and looking over the beer garden, we all envisioned that. And then we started doing a lot of work.
Yeah, but the most important part, I think it was network, and they believed us.
Yeah.
When we told them the story, they believed us. And we didn't really, I mean, we convinced them, but they already knew us and what we stand for and the kind of quality we stand for. So in that way we could convince them. Like if we didn't know them, it would be a different story, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our presentation should be like 5 times bigger.
It was not the first talk. Like we've been doing things here for like more than over 10 years.
Yeah.
It started here actually again in the same place. We started doing drinks here, and then afterwards it was getting too crowded, and then doing the drinks
Beer Garden, the terrace started in this place that we're sitting now. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've already known us, and they know we work at a certain professional level.
Yeah.
And that's why they went for it. They went with us. Cool. Yeah.
This is a two-parter. But then we went with Roland to the sixth floor of this building, and there was an internet company called Mangrove, And they are like really commercial, actually. They make like big projects, big websites for really big companies in Holland and abroad. But they're also looking for some ways to support the cultural level of this area. So we pitched the idea together with Roeland that we had the beer garden for a location. You guys have to help us. You guys have to give us a website for free and forever for free. And you have to support us and be the one of the two big partners that we need for succeeding with this platform. And again, we updated the presentation with some input.
It was a bit better.
But they also were like, immediately there was no negotiations. There was nothing. There was, okay, we got you. We're going to help you guys, because we believe in the project, we believe in this area, and we believe in your vibe and your professionality, and we believe in that you are the guys that connect all these scenes together here in Rotterdam, and that's how it started actually.
Nice. So actually the whole plan consists of
partnerships
with different companies and everything. But they also get some funding from like the municipality and Dutch
now,
government.
After 4 years. So we at the second year that we existed, we did like a crowdfund. Mm-hmm. We went for 25K to raise from our community. And also the businesses that supported us, and the municipality, the city of Rotterdam, also donated at that point 5,000 euros. Mm-hmm. So we knew we were on their eye level, and we were seen, mm-hmm. you know. So we knew, okay, also on that side of the politics, we have a good reputation. And then later in a later stadium. So like now, we are now in the first year of structural funding. Mm-hmm. So we get like 4 years of structural funding. Get like 85K a year to make sure we maintain the level and build from here.
Okay. Yeah.
And which just gives us a lot of freedom also to make good content. Mm-hmm. And that's a really really big plus to the DJ scene here also in Rotterdam, that the city directly funds a place where DJs can grow and mm-hmm. explore new sounds and whatever, get out of their attics and go into the public place. Yeah,
but we started out first with like our own stuff.
We like paid everything.
Our own money. That's how we started. It was tough in the beginning, and also like time-wise, it consumes a lot of our time, but well, it went quite rapidly.
Yeah, and we started immediately with doing these collaborations with the cultural field with like festivals, and that generates not a lot of revenue, but some revenue. If we would charge the prices we charge now, it would have been a lot easier. But we grow into that professionality. Also, what it exactly means, the collaborations, what kind of hours, what kind of gear you use. And so, you grow into that.
Cool. Like, what about the content you are presenting right now? Do you think that in the municipality of Rotterdam and in the youth, the generations, there is enough like demand and interest for all the culture and music scene you are presenting?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it can definitely grow, but
how it is compared to like when you started? Do you like see your own impact on the scene as well? Like,
oh yeah, definitely. Because a lot of DJs become more successful. That started
after
out
playing at
But I mean, the scene just gets bigger, and also with like a lot of festival promoters in the Netherlands. When they start to program and to book, and they look for names, they always check, oh, they have a show at Operator, then it must be good.
Uh-huh. So yeah, it's like a quality control.
Okay, so that's actually a big thing for you to check for every artist that comes to the radio station.
Yeah, okay. And Rotterdam has been put on the map like more than before.
Yeah, and a lot of talent has come through Operator that probably wasn't
fit to do like club nights or something, you know, at that time. But they got a place at Operator and built from there. I did a regular radio show, and now at a certain point, like you said, the festival promoters check their names and they see like 20 radio shows and check them out. And wow, this is a good technical DJ, but also the sound is like this alternative. I don't know. It doesn't really matter what kind of genre they play, but you can feel the energy. And yeah, those kids grew into professional DJs and get booked now through the whole country, you know?
Yeah, and besides that, the numbers grow, the numbers grow, plays, and I mean, people that want to collaborate with us, that's also really growing.
Yeah.
So yeah, in that sense, I would say...
and they want to pay more.
It's been much improved, yeah, definitely, yeah. And they also see how important a platform like Operator is for the city and also for them to reach like a new audience or to get to reconnect again with like younger people.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So now it's been like 4 years of running Operator, and you probably learned a lot of things.
A lot of things, man.
Yeah.
Trial and error, definitely.
Yeah.
Were there like any mistakes you made that you
where
think?
Where do we start?
Where do you?
No, there's been a ton of mistakes, obviously. Yeah.
Like what were the bigger and funnier ones?
Well, we first applied for the funding, and that has been declined, right?
It was hard at the time because we didn't have anything yet. It was just a plan on paper, and it was like, and at the time, people at the municipality, they look at a plan and they were like, radio, it's like an outdated medium, and why should we invest in radio?
They didn't understand.
It was too soon.
And it wasn't really tangible, you know, so they were like, but I mean, if I look back at the plan now and like also with like the costing that we made, and it didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, for us, it made a lot of sense because
we envisioned something, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and we lived this stuff, you know. So for us, it goes without saying.
So just to make clear for the listeners, this was before we actually had the container.
Yeah,
we wrote a plan for funding gear and stuff like that, and get a good start to get like 10K or something from the municipality to get a head start. And we paid like 1,000 euros or 1,200 euros of our own money to let somebody write a plan. That was like a big mistake because we could have drink a lot of beer from the 1,200 euros.
I don't know if it was a mistake, but it was a process, of course, we didn't know better, because also that girl
was she was quite good in writing plans, but it was like to drop something out of the blue on the city like that, you know, they would never understand it the way they understand it now, you know. So it was a little bit of premature from us to ask that kind of funding in that way.
Yeah.
And we would have done that now.
And it was
way
the first
different.
Time for us. I mean, I never applied for any form of like an art grant or anything.
Okay.
So we did it way different, like when we applied for the 4-year art grant.
Yeah, way different.
But still, we made like a lot of mistakes. I mean, also with streaming and like technical issues, and even if we look back at the streams we did at the beginning.
Yeah.
Remember that one time when we went to Black Movies Matter.
Black Films Matter
that we had like this one USB 3 cable that we lent out to a guy that wanted to charge his phone, and then he never gave it back, and we actually needed that to get like the high resolution
stream. It was a super speed cable. We needed that for the capture card.
Yeah.
And we had like a flimsy, slower cable. And then the images were like really like
it was
the
shocking.
Shutter speed which yeah.
So that was we were totally panicking, but somehow at the place that we collaborated, they found the right cable like 2 minutes before we started the stream, and then it was all clear.
All good.
Yeah, but also in the beginning, like sometimes stuff doesn't work or a CDJ breaks down, and then I don't know. We have some internet connection issues.
Classic
and
ones.
Yeah, in the beginning I was like, oh shit, everything has to be perfect every day, but you quickly learn.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Okay.
So yeah,
that's yeah, awesome. Or the power gets turned off while the computer shuts down upstairs and like a power outage or something like that here. This area is not the best structured area power wise and anyway the whole building is just like a creative hub, so there's no big money involved. So it gets like they say in Holland houtje touwtje sometimes. It means like connecting two things of wood with rope.
See, you understand now, right?
Yeah, and also like we didn't really have professionals on board, like you. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we have Michiel, but Michiel lives in another city, and he set up. It's like the stream lord of the Netherlands.
Yeah,
Michiel Gardner, Michiel.
Shout out.
Definitely. Yeah, and he does a lot of things remote, and we don't have a service contract with him, so we can't really call him like every minute of the day, like oh, this is not working.
But he still loves us and wants to help us like really bad, because he's like a pure purist, you know. He wants to be there for you.
But if we had to do things differently, I was like maybe hire like professionals in an early stage, or maybe people from a school or a university, like that.
Cool.
That always helps for the overall quality.
Yeah.
But we now know a lot of stuff ourselves. But
you became a professional now.
A lot of things went down. Still learning every day.
Okay, we should slowly conclude this, and I would like to ask you about the future of the radio. Like, what are the future plans? Are you planning on changing the program or switching to FM even?
I don't know. I don't think FM is going to be... there's a lot of regulations behind it, I guess, in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And I mean, internet radio is just much more free.
Okay.
And you don't have like any guidelines or anything. So that's...
Everybody has internet right now.
Yeah.
Like these contracts with their mobile servers. You know, nobody is out of internet and anytime anymore. So there's no need to go to FM. Plus, everybody, the whole alternative scene can find us on the website. They all know, I guess. But looking to the future, we really want... Well, we always envisioned this like building with like a rooftop bar and a pop podium in downstairs, and like these studios in the middle, or like offices between, and like this whole operator building with like an operator bar and an operator stage. You know, that would be like the ultimate goal.
That's
the ultimate
goal and the dream. Yeah.
But we're slowly taking spaces, claiming spaces as if they are ours. You know, and we're just slowly building these blocks and putting them on each other. You know, and that's
occupation.
Yeah. Regarding the program, I would say it would be like a dream to have like a nice program during the day that you can put on like whenever you want.
Okay.
And now it's like we have a lot of DJs that do like a set, but maybe we can slowly work towards like different moods and times, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that would be nice. Or have like
more
multiple channels.
More structured, you mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe more curated. That's probably a better word than structure, because it is structured, because people come on time and stuff like that, and gets the sets get cut and they got sent to everyone, and that's all that whole structure part is there. But as in the program content, maybe curated more in, like you said, the moods moods would be like a really cool thing you can add to the content programming. But yeah, that takes time and processing,
we have like one channel now, maybe, and
we have
maybe,
two actually.
Yeah, two, but the second one is not always in use. In the future, maybe it would be good to see if we have like three or four channels, and that way you can you can choose your own mood.
And Michiel is now working on he's working on his own automation system that he wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we talked about last time, and so we can schedule like also more pre-recorded stuff and archived stuff.
Oh yeah.
So that gets more structured.
Okay.
It's gonna be nice, I guess. Yeah. And maybe like a festival.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
We're probably gonna do like a small festival on the 2nd of October, but yeah. Like a yearly festival.
A live act festival.
Yeah,
that
cool. Would also be like a plan for us. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Like, thanks for all the answers.
Of course, anytime.
And taking your time.
Yeah, you're welcome,
thanks, man.
Thank you for this splendid interview.
Yes.
Tokratni RŠ intervju z ekipo Radio Operator sem iz Rotterdama prispeval Staš Kramar.
Intervju Radia Študent.